Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn is behind the glass, and we have a ton to talk about today. Elliot will join us a little bit later on. The NFL schedule continues to leak out little by little. We know about a big game, and we'll know them all tomorrow. We'll get to the Phillies with a good win last night in Boston. And here a lot to get into specifically about the Sixers, who did yesterday what they needed to do by firing Daryl Morey. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia.
I know we're talking about basketball or whatever, but that the series finale of the boys is going to be really good. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I know it ain't had nothing to do with what we was talking about.
I know it's just on your mind.
Yeah, yeah. It was on my mind, and that was...
I don't give a shit.
Part of what I was thinking about, because it was really good.
You were watching before we got on the air.
Yeah. I had to finish it up, and I'm like, oh, I want to spoil it for anybody, because I guess the boss watches it too. So I didn't want to spoil it, but it's going to be really good.
Well, you didn't want to spoil for it, but you left it on loud as he was in the room with us.
I did, but he didn't know what was going on, though.
Okay.
He didn't know what was going on.
I gotcha.
That was my time. He was invading on my time. We had the meeting. The meeting was over. So then that was my time.
Okay, but never mind. I was going to say he had something to tell us. But
oh,
that's
I wasn't trying to hear it.
Yeah, I know you weren't. All right. You know who else wasn't trying to hear it anymore? Josh Harris, because he said, Daryl, get the hell out. And yesterday, I'll just say it this way. Yesterday was a good day for the Sixers. They got Daryl Morey out of the organization. Look, Josh Harris is not a good owner, but once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut. And that was yesterday by Josh Harris dumping Daryl Morey. 6 years, and the team was no closer to a championship today than the day he arrived. This guy came in here with a lot of fanfare. Daryl Morey, you know, at one point was considered one of the best executives in professional basketball. Mm-hmm. He's not that. To me, Daryl Morey is basketball's Billy Bean. He had an idea for how the game should be played. It was a smart,
nice run.
But guess what?
And it was time. It's over now.
Well, everyone took his idea and did it better and passed him by. That's what happened to Billy Bean in baseball. Where all these like teams were like, all right, we'll just do that better. And that's what happened with Daryl Morey in basketball. He was not creative here. He did not do enough in terms of good traits. He didn't do enough in terms of good signings. And the basketball team is stuck in a spot where he obviously could no longer continue. And look, I think a lot of us the last couple days have been down on the Sixers, down on where this is going because they feel stuck. But the way I feel this morning is the glass is half full because they got Morey out of here and they could find someone that might be more creative and have a better way of getting them out of what he created over the past 5 or 6 years. 215-592-9494. Morey is out. I feel better about it. I mean, it's one of those things where 6 years is a long time to get it right. And the misses, the Paul George contract, the Joel Embiid contract, not having the guts to maybe trade away an Embiid a couple years ago when you could have got something significant before paying him again, these were all mistakes. And look, he had a couple good things. I mean, the Maxey signing and obviously the draft pick was great. Edgecombe looks like he's very promising, but there's not enough hits. You know, you kind of do that scale of the good versus the bad here, and there was way too much on the bad and not enough wins and not enough on the good. Morey had to go. Good job, Josh Harris. We now see where they go. Nick Nurse staying, which is a complicating factor, but I'm okay with it. Hugh, where are you at this morning on the Sixers as they move off of Daryl Morey?
A lot of thoughts. One was I think that Morey was a little tone deaf.
Yeah.
When it came to the way that he talked to this city and how he embraced or lack thereof embracing the city. You know, one of the things that stick out to me is when he said, if you squint really, really hard, we can be in the playoffs.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah.
And they won 24 games.
Yeah, it was a few things that he said, man. And it's like, in this city, you have to be careful about how you present yourself and how you do things. And I just thought it was kind of odd. I understand. I tried to give him grace as far as, you know, the combine was concerned and going to check out players. But to leave the way that you did and not have anything to say to this fan base kind of tells you everything that you need to know about this guy. That he really didn't have a clue about what it takes to thrive and be successful here in Philadelphia, and he just wasn't about that action. He wasn't about accountability. That's what it kind of felt like to me.
Well, I just don't think he was good enough. I mean, bottom line is I don't think he was good enough at his job, and I think almost the idea of Daryl Morey was better than the actual GM that Daryl Morey was. I mean, people have talked about him as if he's a great executive. There's no proof that he is. It's just there's none. I mean, he had a good run with the Houston Rockets. Congratulations. Wonderful. He never got to the finals. He came here and never got out of the second round. He has been here a complete disappointment, and he had to go. Josh Harris did it right, finally, yesterday by getting rid of Daryl Morey. And now, Bob Myers will lead the search, you, and that makes this thing interesting to where they go now. Bob Myers, one of the most accomplished executives, of course, all those years with the Warriors. And now he's here. You know, him and Josh Harris first connected with the Commanders because he was helping them with the Commanders. And now Bob Myers here in Philadelphia is going to help lead the search where it goes, who they're able to land. Hugh, I don't know. I mean, this is one of those jobs here where it's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Like, you could look at it and say, I get Maxey, I get Edgecombe, I get a great city that loves basketball. Or you could say, I got Embiid's contract, I got George's contract, do I want to take this job? So I don't know what kind of candidates they are going to consider. I would go with someone young and maybe from a front office that is deep in scouting and development and try to build a team organically. But Hugh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where Bob Myers is going to go. Obviously, he has a million contacts, right? He used to be an agent. Mm-hmm. Then he became a GM, so he knows basically the last 20 years of players and coaches and agents or executives around the league. He knows everybody. Bob Myers leads the search. I mean, Hugh, if I had my way, Bob Myers would just take the job himself. It doesn't sound like he wants to do that anymore. But boy, at least they have someone like Bob Myers to kind of help them through this thing.
I'm thinking fresh, innovative ideas. I know you're going to be hamstrung with the money that you're paying to Paul George and Joel Embiid. You know, I know that you have some young pieces here. But I feel like in order to make this team better, you have to be creative. And you have to be given the time. You have to be given the time to make it better. Because I don't think this is a 2 or 3 year fix. This is probably a 5 year thing, Joe. When you talk about some of the contracts that you're going to move off from, because, you know, release, Joel Embiid has 3 years on his deal. I don't know how many years Paul George has on his.
Two more.
But, you know, you're gonna have to kind of wade through all of this in the next couple of years before you even get an opportunity to go out and try to make this team better. And hopefully during that time, you know, you got young VJ Edgecombe. He's going to continue to grow. And Tyrese Maxey. I would say the biggest thing that – the first thing that I would do if I was the GM, I would probably let it be known that Tyrese Maxey is going to be the focal point of this team. I want to see how far I could take his talent. Joel Embiid, for me, I just had to eat that contract and make him somewhat of a part-time player and try to get somebody in here that can, you know, give me more than he's giving me on the defensive end and try to marry those two skill sets together to try to make this team better.
I think the clear – to me, it's clear Maxey and Edgecombe have to be what they build the team around, right? And how they do that and what's the path to do that and how long it will take. I think you're right. Whoever they hire, they have to give a full a run. Like, the worst thing would be coming in and someone thinking they only have 2 or 3 years, because then you make – short-sighted decisions, right, to try to win quickly. They got to stop with that. The Sixers made too many short-sighted decisions for too many years. I have the statement in front of me here. I'll read it before we get everyone's take from Josh Harris last night. By the way, Tony Jones of The Athletic reported that Morey was surprised at the decision when he met with Josh Harris last night, which is an interesting. Well, I mean, you've been here 6 years, dude.
Does it surprise you that he's surprised? I just said the man was tone deaf.
That's kind of a good point.
You know what I mean? I just said the man was tone deaf. Does it surprise you that he thought everything was cool?
No, you're right. That doesn't surprise me. He doesn't surprise me. He should have known it was coming, but yeah, I think you're right.
Read the room, homeboy.
He did not read the room enough. And just quite simply, he didn't do a good enough job. If you had told me the day he arrived, 6 years in, they'd have two albatross contracts, they would have only two players on the roster that you feel great about their future, and they wouldn't have cap space, and that they would have just traded away one of the more promising young players in the NBA for a deal that looks more ridiculous by the day, and they had never got out of the second round, I would say, get this guy out of here. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear the statement from Josh Harris that was put out last night after the dismissal of Daryl Morey. Quote, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Daryl personally and professionally, and I'm grateful for his contributions over the last 6 seasons. After speaking with Daryl, we determined that it was time for a fresh start. Bob Myers will lead the process of identifying a new leader, and I believe his experience in constructing 4 NBA championship teams will be a valuable resource to our organization. To our fans, your frustration and disappointment are understandable and warranted. We have fallen well short of our own expectations and failed to deliver in the way this city deserves.
That's a start.
That bothers me deeply, and I have confidence in Bob to establish a path forward for a franchise. Well, at least he acknowledged it. I mean, they have. They have failed considerably. And I know all this is not Daryl Morey's fault, right? They started making bad decisions way before he got here. But they brought him in on a very rich deal to get them over the top. That was the job. So the job isn't just to be good. The job isn't just to figure some things out. The job isn't just to make the most of it. The job is to make the team better. And he did not make the Sixers better. Not in a way that it was worth keeping him around. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to the Sixers firing Daryl Morey. And where are you at this morning on the franchise? But Morey out. Is the glass half full around here, or is it still half empty the way it seems to be a lot with the Sixers? Kyle, what are you feeling as Morey is out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll say it's half full, but it's a tiny glass. It's like a shot glass.
I mean, we could use a shot once in a while with the Sixers.
Yeah, I guess like yesterday, my big thing was, are they going to pat themselves on the back, tell themselves that this was a successful season?
They didn't.
So that to me is a good sign, at least, that they know that this wasn't good enough. The Daryl Morey tenure wasn't good enough. So I'm good with that. I guess I'm hopeful that they bring somebody in who knows how to configure this thing with Joel Embiid, not as like the primary piece, but as maybe a piece that can help you win a championship. Who knows? Maybe they even find a way to move off on this offseason. I'm not getting my hopes up. Not really sure that that's going to be easy to do. But I like the fact that they didn't tell themselves that last season was okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll say it's a start and I feel okay about the future. But I'm not like, you know, as I said, it's just a start. So I need to see a little bit more come. I need to see more of these pieces fall into place before I start feeling like really better.
That's fair. And look, one thing I'm really happy about this morning is I heard a lot of people yesterday when I was listening to the afternoon show talking about Morey and they were arguing back and forth and all that. But there was a sense of it doesn't matter. Nobody could come in here and make this better tomorrow or the next day. Mm-mm. And that's probably true.
That's the truth.
But you don't get to keep your job because the person after you can't make it better tomorrow. You know what I'm considering, Hugh? The next 5 years, like you said. If Morey had stayed, there's a chance he would have made it worse, right? And then whenever he got out of here, it would have made the dig out of this thing almost impossible. Like, if you know you don't have the right person anymore, just cut ties, right? And that way you have the best chance of soon enough figuring it out. I'm just glad that they didn't let Morey go any further.
Yeah, and then you know when you think about the timing, he was at the combine or whatever it was they were having in Chicago for the
combine.
Players.
Yep.
You want to try to get this ball rolling as soon as possible.
Of course.
You know, you want to get your scouting department, whatever that is, or Nick Nurse's scouting department, if he's going to be the guy, you want them to get in there and vet who they want to try to get in this draft and try to figure out a way. Because that would be my first thing to do, was try to figure out a way to keep Joel Embiid healthy. And the way that you do that, you find his replacement, and you play him sparingly. He's going to be here. But I would probably, like during the course of Joel Embiid's 3 years here, he probably would play, regardless if he wants to or not, he would probably not play as much as he would like to in this lineup. You know, and I would integrate him as I needed him to be in the game. You know, and that's kind of how I would do it.
Well, you know, with that comes two things. One, you have to have someone that has conviction, someone that has good talent evaluation that could find, you know, maybe a young big guy that could start taking some of his minutes. Hugh, the other thing is you got to have someone who's strong enough to tell him this is not your team anymore, right? Like, part of the issues with Morey, it feels like, back to Houston now here, is he let the star player just do whatever the hell they want, right? It was Harden, and then it was Embiid. Let them do whatever the hell they want, and that's not conducive to championship basketball. So whoever the next person is has to be able to tell these older guys, specifically Embiid, we're not doing it your way anymore.
Well, I think part of the problem, this is me recklessly speculating because I haven't talked to anybody over there, but it just feels like there was a tug of war between Nick Nurse and, I guess, in this situation, because he's not here, Daryl Morey. And it felt like a lot of times that individuals probably were going over somebody's head to get decisions made or stuff like that. That I'm just saying, that's me. When you talk about not knowing what the lineup is going to be an hour before the game and things of that nature, not knowing who's going to be a shoot around and stuff like that, it just feels like maybe Coach Nurse wanted to go in one direction and then it was pulled in another because somebody used their cachet to make some things happen.
Quickly, before we go to the phone lines, at 215-592-9494, for your reaction today, Morey out as Sixers executive. Glass half full for you today, half empty on the Sixers, where they are, the future, all that kind of stuff. Hugh, where are you at on the idea of them keeping Nurse? Because there were a lot of people last night, like, they basically were saying, why not just clean house? Because now, if essentially, the new GM can't pick his coach, right? Like, Nick Nurse is the coach, at least for this coming season. The new executive has to keep Nurse and then kind of make it work on the fly. Hugh, I don't mind it. I think Nick Nurse did a pretty good job, all things considered, this season. I like Nurse. My question of the day was, does Nurse even want to be here? This is telling me he does want to be here, right? He could have just asked to get canned too or just quit. He does want to be here. Hugh, I'm okay with Nurse staying for a year independent of Maury. I'm okay with it. You good with them keeping the coach, even though it's the new GM?
Yeah, because it feels like that's what's going to happen.
They're going to keep Nurse.
Well, you got to figure out what direction you want to go in. And I think that, you know, having a coach here, it feels like, on the outside looking in, that the coach had one direction he wanted, and somebody else had another.
Yep.
So now you get somebody in here that can work with the coach and try to get you the players that you need and you know, relay the message that you want to relay when it comes to this team.
And let's be honest, a year from now, if the new executive doesn't like Nick Nurse, they'll just fire Nick Nurse then. I mean, that the new coach will come. In basketball and hockey, these coaches get in and out all the time. To me, the Nurse thing was not holding them back in a particular way. It just, you could argue with a few things here and there. I didn't love the way he handled McCain. But I think Nurse is way down the list of issues the Sixers have. Maury is way up it because he made all the personnel decisions. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? I think yesterday was a good day for the Sixers. I said yesterday I expected them to do it, and I did. But I still, when I saw it, I was like, wow, they actually did it. They actually...
You were surprised.
Well, yeah, I thought it was the right thing. But I was like, wow, they actually went through with what was right. They don't usually do that around here. Let's go to Andy in Huntington Valley, who's up on WIP. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys, you know, you can get rid of Daryl Morey. It's probably time. You need a new set of eyes. But the max contract that Embiid signed a couple of years ago, Josh Harris had to okay that.
Yep.
That had to be, you know. So at the end of the day, I had this conversation with a friend of mine who's a season ticket holder for the Sixers. It's the eye test. I mean, what did you see 2 years ago when you re-signed him to another max contract that said, this is a good idea? And Josh Harris, a multi-billionaire, made a lot of money, smart guy. What was he looking at? I mean, what was he possibly thinking? And I was proud of Embiid in the Celtics series. I thought he played his heart out. But at the end of the day, he's cooked.
Completely cooked. Andy, you're right, and it's an indictment on Harris that if it was his idea, shame on him. If it was Maury's idea, he should have been like, Daryl, are we sure about this? 3 years for this guy with that knee? It doesn't seem like it's a smart idea. Whoever's idea it was bad, but you're right. I mean, Harris takes some blame. He signed off on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just in basketball. You see it all over the place, and I don't understand. And, you know, you get to a certain age, and you can't do the things you did before. And for these teams to keep throwing money at these guys, it's a head-scratcher. It really is. It makes no sense.
Well, it's unnecessary. Andy, good phone call. I mean, Hugh.
Well, that's the nature of the beast in basketball, though.
Paying the players.
Yeah, because even when you look at Joel Embiid, like, say, for example, and we're talking about how Josh Harris signed off on it.
Yep.
Well, you got Daryl Morey there, you know, and you talk about the legacy that he had building teams and everything. You take his word for it. Say, for instance, if Morey said, hey, this is a good deal to sign him now, you know, because, you know, he has his contract coming up and you just put 3 more years on it. It's hard to find stars in the NBA.
So you're right. And he probably trusted Morey, right?
Yes.
The issue is, I hate when I hear, what else were you supposed to do? Well, that's your job, right? Like, there's not that many of these jobs in sports. Howie Roseman, Dave Dombrowski, Daryl Morey, right? In each league, there's 30 or 32 of these jobs in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to make tough decisions, right? Like, it's one thing for us to say, what else are you supposed to do? It's literally their job to have an alternative and say, I know this is our star player. I know people have his jerseys. I know we're trying to get an arena, which they were at that point, but... Guys, he's going backwards. It doesn't make sense to pay him. If he gets upset and requests a trade, is that really the worst thing long-term for our franchise? That's why I feel it always comes back to this. Hugh, Howie doesn't make these mistakes. And when he does, and he makes some, he gets out of it very fast, right? Mm-hmm. Like when he's made a bad contract or two, what does he do? In a year, he's like, all right, I'm out of this.
But here's the reality of it, Joe, especially in basketball. We always hear stories about somebody in the hierarchy of the organization that has a... what's the word I'm looking for? They really like the player.
Yep, yeah.
They have a great rapport with that player, so much so that they'll listen to that player before they listen to anything else that anybody else says, and it supersedes that. That's what it feels like with this situation, with Joel Embiid. The simple fact that when you sit back, and it's no fault of his own, in my opinion, it's the relationships and the culture that you foster that he's a part of, he's a victim of. Just like when you talk about last year when they were trying to get reins of this team and they talked to him about his accountability as far as his workouts and everything. And instead of him receiving that, allegedly, he went out looking for the person that wrote the story about it. or told the reporter about the story.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, when you do stuff like that, that tells me that somebody upstairs that is in a position of power is allowing you to do some of the things that you're doing. Another example, when you talk about how he tweeted through it and talking about he was mad because he couldn't play. Then the next time he played, somebody upstairs, he has their ear and he's allowed to behave this way. So now with Daryl Morey being fired, you got to have somebody come in and say, hey, if Nick Nurse is the guy, let Coach Nurse coach this team the way that he wants to coach it. It's our job to get the pieces that he needs to make this team better and just let him try to fix it the best way that he possibly can.
And that's it. And they have to do that now. We'll find out where this search goes. Bob Myers is leading up. I think yesterday was a good day for the Sixers. They're out of the Morey business. It was a disaster. I mean, considering what the expectations were, Daryl Morey was a disaster here in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Reaction to Morey being out. Is the glass half full for the Sixers moving forward? Half empty? Your reaction to the team? And I just keep going back to this. Morey had opportunity after opportunity to make this thing better. They are no closer to a title now than the day he walked in the door. That's a terrible job. I mean, if he had done his job right, they could have cashed and beat out years ago. That's what a smart executive would have done. Or he'd be off the books today. If they never gave him that contract that kicks in now, that $55 million of Joel Embiid would be off the books today. And the Sixers would be in position, and if they never signed George, to go build a team around Edgecombe and Maxey, now it's harder. That's Morey's fault, and he paid the price. All right, your phone calls on all this. Plus, coming up, you're not going to want to miss it. The greatest hits of Daryl Morey. A little montage.
We
will pay tribute to 6 years of nonsense with Daryl Morey. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sing it, Hugh.
Ding dong. Maybe you need to cut that terrible-ass beard off now. That thing didn't connect in the first damn place. Look, and I just said...
Now personal shots at Daryl?
It only took a half hour.
I was kicked him right in the ass on the way out the door.
And I just said, grown men shouldn't be talking about other grown men's beard.
And then you did
but
it?
I took a shot. I took a shot at him because
You comment on people's hair a lot, by the way.
Yeah, it's because lack thereof. Lack thereof of hair.
Yep.
But no, it was like, yeah, go ahead, go on about your business. You should have known you was getting fired, dog. You left. You ain't even.
Well, he should have known. Well, he was clueless. I mean, he's just not a good GM here in Philadelphia.
Clueless.
No question. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Daryl's greatest hits. We're going to play for you a little montage of the best moments. There's a lot in 6 years. A lot of nonsense that was spewed by the Sixers president of basketball operations. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. Let's go back to your phone calls and all this. Where are you at this morning? Morey is out. Is the glass half full for you, half empty? It's half full for me. I'm feeling way better about the Sixers now that I know Morey's not going to make this thing worse. Like, he can't. He's not allowed anymore. He is out of here. Josh Harris finally got one right by removing Morey from president of basketball operations. Tamir in Wilmington is up on WIP.
Yo, what's going on, guys? How y'all feeling?
Tamir, what's up, man? I'm feeling better that Morey's out of here. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Joe, you know I called for you, man. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to you real quick. Hugh, what's going on, man? I appreciate you for everything, man, for real.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What are you doing? I'm good, brother. I'm good. I'm good. I just wanted to call, hey, Joe, real quick, man, just real quick. Are you like, appreciative of Philadelphia sports right now? Like, are you happy about it or no?
Overall, I mean, I guess I'm happy about where the Flyers are going. I'm happy the Phillies have turned this thing around. I'm excited to see what the Eagles are. And I feel a little better about I feel better today about the Sixers. I mean, obviously this weekend was not good to me, right? Both teams getting swept. But, yeah, in general, I feel optimistic about a lot of these things.
Okay. So, Joe, you know the one person you criticize the most, right?
Who's that?
Jalen Hurts.
Well, I mean, he's the quarterback of the Eagles. We talk a lot about him, so it's just maybe it sounds like that. But what does Jalen have to do with this, though?
Because it goes back to my first question, Joe. I just wanted to know, like, at the end of the day, Joe. I mean, we got the Sixers, we got the Flyers, you know, and we got the Phillies, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not making us happy. When have the last time they made us happy, right?
It's been a while.
So I think of that
too. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you criticize Jalen a lot for winning. So I just want you to understand and notice that certain players in certain positions, won't give you the satisfaction that, you know, Jalen Hurts will. So we always got to, you know, understand what we have, why we got it, right?
Yeah,
right?
Take care.
Right,
yeah, satisfaction.
So, Tamir, here's what I'll say. I agree with you, but to me, it's not so much a Jalen thing. It's an Eagles thing. Like, I'll say this. All of the nonsense with the Phillies so far this season, having to fire their manager, the Sixers nonsense all the time, and the Flyers until the last couple months, obviously not being kind of relevant for a while. It does make me appreciate the Eagles, Tamir. It's not a specific Jalen thing, though. It's the Eagles. They're the best team here. We know that.
Yes, sir. But right. Where would the Eagles be without Jalen Hurts? Joe, tell me that, please.
Well, they would still be pretty good.
Probably with a different quarterback winning the Super Bowl.
Joe, please tell me where the Eagles would be without Jalen Hurts.
Well, I have to know who's replacing him. I mean, if they have nobody, then they won't be any good.
Yeah, who's the QB?
Yeah, tell me who the QB is, and I'll give you their record.
Yeah, come on, Joe. It's all good, though. I just want you to really realize, like,
where would Jalen Hurts be without the Eagles? Is a better question.
Nobody wants to answer that one.
Where would Jalen Hurts be
without the Eagles? Yeah,
it's a symbiotic relationship.
Who has a better chance of succeeding without the other? There's an obvious answer here.
Donovan McNabb didn't take it to two Super Bowls and win one and wasn't the MVP,
That's such a good point. Their teams are 20 years apart.
No, he didn't do that to me.
I mean, 20 years apart, but they're both playing the same position.
No, the point is they're on entirely different teams.
Yeah.
And in different leagues.
But the thing is, we can't dummy down what Jalen Hurts have done for this city. We got to stop doing that.
Isn't that what you're doing by saying
is not making you feel that way.
Yeah. Well, that's what Hugh does every day.
What are you talking about?
What I do?
Hugh fantasizes about that.
I think Tamir cooking. He's saying what he's saying.
Yeah, but it's all Jalen?
Well, I mean, he's the quarterback.
He needs the Eagles way more than the Eagles need Jalen, dude. Let's be real.
He was a football player.
Hugh doesn't know ball.
He's a football player.
Get real.
He knows it. He knows.
He used to. We don't know what happened anymore. He forgot a lot. Now, go ahead, Hugh.
No, I'm just saying. It's you play the hand you're dealt, right? And Jalen has been dealt a hell of a hand, and he's taking full advantage of it.
Yeah.
So I don't really separate the two. I mean, I don't know what we would be without Jalen because I don't have any history of that. I don't know what we would be without
him. So, Tamir, good phone call, man. And we appreciate it. And we have fun with the Jalen stuff. I'm excited to talk a lot about Jalen with you in the next couple months.
with you in the next couple months.
Well, I mean, we're going to have a lot.
Yeah, because, it's going to be the football season right around.
You ready for all those Jalen conversations?
No!
Oh, you better get ready. I can't wait.
It's like, you know what?
You guys want to start revving those up?
I can't wait.
I have adopted the philosophy that if you start out the conversation with me about, say, I'm hating on Jalen, I'm going to go ahead and just stop talking to you.
Yeah, Tim, look, and let's keep...
Because it's not hate.
Well,
it's
a hater.
It's analysis.
So, like when you fantasize about that.
It was a complete fantasy. We were talking about, just like when Tamir talked about hypotheticals, it was
fantasy
a hypothetical.
Fantasy world.
It's what fans do on a daily basis.
I actually have never heard an Eagles fan fantasize about Dak.
I've never heard that. Nobody fantasized about it. What would he look like in this offense? Dak has put up numbers with mediocre talent.
Well, that's
not true.
Dak's had big time talent.
Not as much. Okay, when I say mediocre compared to the talent that we have here.
Well, on the defense side of the ball, he hasn't had the Eagles' talent.
That's not helping him put up numbers.
No, but I'm saying talent is talent,
dude,
right?
Dude, he's had some very good supporting cast.
Okay, compare offensive talent that he's had that we have.
Okay. So CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Zeke Elliott.
Devontae Smith?
Well, even go back to the first.
No, I'm saying it's comparable. I'm not saying it's so obvious that the Eagles have had better.
Am I wrong to wonder what it would look like when he puts up gaudy numbers?
No.
You weren't wrong. It was just that you did it.
It's just that I did
No,
it.
Yeah. I didn't.
I mean, I'm a sports analyst. That's why. Do I have to pull out this belt? Do I have to show y'all who got the belt?
Week to week, Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Jalen.
Because I got a couple more days with this belt.
Can you stop with the belt?
I'm just saying, do I need to show you the belt? And who has the belt?
We don't care.
Poor guys.
But I'm just saying.
Bringing out fear in the older generation. Asking to bring out the belt. Poor people out there.
I forgot about that trauma.
PTSD
That's my era. We got beat down.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And then we will have the montage of the best moments of the Maury era.
A montage.
Chris in Middletown up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
Daryl. Guys, great song by Green Day. It is very fitting for this. Called Good Riddance.
Yeah, Good Riddance. He's out after 6 years of nonsense, Chris. Go ahead.
And Hugh, you just triggered me.
What I do with the belt?
I'm 49. The belt. Yeah. When you say get the belt out, dude,
I told you.
I start getting nervous.
I could feel half our audience like thinking about the old days when you said, "Don't let me get the belt."
No, I tell you, man. I mean, and I know this is probably not the PC thing to say, but that's what made the Jackson 5 so great, though, dog. I mean, when you think about it, that's what probably made them as great as they were.
Joe,
you talking about
the belt?
Yeah, from Joe.
Yeah, I mean, they probably were traumatized, but they benefited tremendously from that.
Oh, this is great.
All right, let's pivot back before Kyle blows a gasket and then the stash flies off. Attaboy, Joshy, glad you did the obvious and fired the dummy. But the next move right now, here's what you got to do. Dead weight, overpriced contracts, got to go. Embiid's got to go. George's got to go. They got to go bye-bye. You build this team around Maxey in Edgecombe. Nurse stays. You keep him as coach. And here's a name for you that they should possibly look at. He's familiar with Philadelphia fan base in somewhat of a similar way. Younger, analytics-orientated executive, I pronounce his name how I want to pronounce it because I'm a Philadelphia fan. So I pronounce it Vince Roseman. But bring in Vince, and let's do it. And then I have to address something here, though, Hugh. You really are a visionary. You tried telling everybody years ago, you did. You said Maxey's the future. And they just weren't ready to hear it. Okay, so you know what, Hugh? This further proves to me you definitely do vibrate at a higher frequency.
I try to. Chris, that's why I don't give up on Kyle and Joe. That's why I come in here every day.
We don't give up on you.
I just can't give up on them. They're two good individuals. I just got to get them right. It's just gonna take me longer than I anticipate.
You have to get us right.
Yeah, it's just gonna take me longer than I anticipate.
Let me tell you, Hugh. You guys asked yesterday if anybody's staying with you. I'm staying with you, bro. I got your six, okay? And you know what? Because y'all going to see. Hugh's right here, okay? And y'all going to see that Jalen Hurts is hot garbage. So I'm holding the line.
You did say that. You did say. Good call, Chris.
No,
he got you with that one.
Metaphorically
speaking. No, you said the words.
But you know what?
Hot garbage.
It's kind of like whoever comes in and becomes the GM, it's kind of like going to be like this. Like, this has been a three-year process of me getting y'all right.
Yeah.
And I've made a little bit of ground. I've made some ground over the last 3 years.
What are our progress with you? Because that's deteriorating.
I need a little bit more time. This is probably going to take a little while.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it's Vince Roseman. That's who...
he was talking about...
So he is a name I have on top of my list. He works for the Thunder. He used to work here. Player development out there with the Oklahoma City Thunder. It would be kind of cool if we had a Roseman and a Roseman. So we'll talk about some names later of who could be potentially in the mix for this job. That's a name, Vince Roseman from the Thunder, I'd keep an eye on. Before we go any further, your phone calls 215-592-9490 for reaction to Morey out. And is the glass half full or half empty for you with the Sixers this morning after the ouster of Daryl Morey? But it's been 6 years. We've had a lot of Morey moments. Can we hear a montage, the best of the Daryl Morey era in Philadelphia?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is an exciting day for Philadelphia basketball. Today, we welcome Daryl Morey, one of the best executives in the NBA.
I'm so excited to be here. I can't believe how quickly this came together.
We're right there. But I agree there. There's no obvious, Golden State or 90s Bulls to go through, thankfully.
Someone asked me who's a better scorer, him or Michael Jordan, and it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
As you guys have heard, it's a mutual love fest, so we feel like we'll work it out. So.
We're just focused on championship, and I know you have to squint a little, but we feel like this group can still do. He's one of the best three-point shooters in NBA history. We really like what he adds to the team, and we feel like our healthy group, our playoff rotation with Buddy Hield is right there with everyone in the entire league. He puts the fear of God in the other teams.
Why are we not coming down his throat? Why are we so leaning on Daryl Morey? It drives me insane!
See, we've been ducking the attacks for the last couple of years, so
Appreciate that perspective. I'm quite confident we were selling high.
Yeah. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
They didn't sell high enough.
Shout out Deadline. You did not upgrade the roster at all. How, what message does that send down the roster to everybody involved?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a more so just, you know, listen, it happens.
As we say goodbye to Daryl Morey. Hugh, what were you thinking about the trip down memory lane there?
That was pretty riveting. I'm over here trying to figure out, I'm writing in my notebook today.
Oh!
Because I'm serious about it.
Are you ranking your favorite moments?
Well, no, I'm trying to figure out who is possibly the best GM for this job. And who's gonna be retained.
Hold on, you're workshopping new GM candidates.
Well, yeah, already.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out.
So are you analytics of different front offices?
Well, I'm just looking at
that we are on the air for 4 hours.
No, I'm saying, but I'm doing this while it's show beneficial.
Okay.
I'm saying it's to help the Sixers.
I like how you spun not show prep before, but show during is beneficial.
No, I'm saying show beneficial because a lot of these things I have in my mind, I got to write them down. That's why I got the notebook.
That's to be determined.
It's the wrong color, but I got the premise is the same.
So there's so many of those Morey moments that Kyle put into the montage that I love. I mean, the fear of God, talking about Buddy Hield, is one of the most ridiculous things anyone's ever said out loud in front of a microphone. Ending it with the maxi, it happens. So, beaten down at the podium the other day, trying to explain Morey trading away McCain.
You talk about putting a bad spot.
But one of my favorite ones, now, he wasn't here when he said it, but it kind of played into it because he traded for Harden. When he said in there, that was back, in an interview in 2019, that it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
If you look at the math.
Maybe look at less math, Daryl. Can we look at less math and more just basketball on the court? Because one guy's a chump and one guy's Michael Jordan.
I think some notable omissions. Did he say something about using AI?
Oh, at one point.
That might have been. I think my favorite stretch of that is the Harden's better score than Michael Jordan. It's a mutual love fest. To Daryl Morey's a liar. And I will never play for another organization he's a part of.
The best part is if you watch the video and James Harden is in China at that point for a basketball camp.
Yeah, and everybody's like, what does that have to do with anything?
All those kids there, they're just to, you know, play basketball with James Harden and learn basketball from James Harden. They probably thought it's an amazing opportunity, right? This Hall of Fame basketball player. And he just takes the mic. He's like, and Daryl Morey's a liar. The faces, and they're like, who? What is he talking about?
Yeah, they probably completely went over. Yeah, they went.
You know, as we look forward for the Sixers, I actually think with Daryl Morey, what he should do next is take a page out of what Theo Epstein did in baseball, because Theo Epstein was obviously a great executive, but his ideas of the way each team should play changed baseball and changed it really for the worse, because everyone started playing the same way. It became boring, slow, shifts, you know, strikeouts, all that kind of stuff, right? And Theo Epstein exited the Cubs, and he went to work, Hugh, for Major League Baseball to help the commissioner change the game, change the rules to make it more interesting again. Mm-hmm. I actually think Morey, who's not a dumb guy, right? He just didn't do a good job.
Nah.
His ideas, he basically was the one that said everyone should just take threes and go to the rim, right? No more mid-range shots. I actually think Morey should go work for the NBA and try to help them make the game, kind of change the rules to make the game more exciting again. He actually probably could do a good job with that. Get away from being a front office person and go help the commissioner.
Yeah, help him out because and not have to be at the forefront.
Yeah.
At the forefront of certain things, because it's clear you're not a people person.
No.
And a lot of times you say things, in my opinion, that have people, it's unrelatable to the everyday individual. And I know that, you know, you being at the hierarchy of the NBA level and all this other stuff, being a GM and stuff, that might not mean a whole lot to you. It feels like it doesn't. But when you're talking to people, trying to get them to buy into certain things, it's tone deaf than a mofo, for real.
Tone deaf's a good word for Daryl Morey. He did not make us feel like we should believe in his plan. And on the court, it didn't look like it. Ed in Phoenixville is up on WIP. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. You know, I take personal responsibility for Daryl Morey getting fired.
What'd you do,
that
Ed?
Morning, I shaved the mustache.
Oh, no.
Cause effect, he's fired that evening. So,
I'm going to thank you. You may feel bad, but I'm going to thank you for getting Morey out of here.
Good.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, it's just not a look for me. So, but anyway, in all seriousness, I think it's a good. It's going to be part of a good, and I'm going to say process again because I was a huge process guy. I remain one. And the darn thing of this whole 13 years is every time something bad would happen, I go back to when Hinkie was forced out in favor of the Colangelos, or I guess they brought Jerry in for a little bit, then Brian came in.
Yep.
So he never really got a chance to finish his story, so that won't happen. I mean, that's over and done with. But looking forward, I think, you know, this is a very tall very recklessly speculative, low probability kind of thing. But I think in a perfect world, Josh Harris, and especially if OKC wins another title this year, back up the Brinks truck and, hey, Sam Presti, you need a new challenge. That won't happen. But Nick Collison is his assistant, former college All-American, I think would be able to bridge the gap between sort of like the analytics side and like really knowing the game. So Nick Collison would be my number one pick, but I don't know if he hasn't left OKC since college. So,
That's an interesting one. Yeah. I remember when he played at Kansas, he was a heck of a college basketball player. And sometimes I think it's when people say this, it's like, it's simple, but sometimes simple is right. Go and get someone from Oklahoma City, right? Like if you can't get Sam Presti, which of course, Ed, if Sam wanted a new challenge, I'd offer him basically half ownership to come here and take over the team. So, but if he didn't want to do it, and I doubt he would leave, then yes, give me someone from that front office, like the Rosman guy that Chris brought up, who used to be here and then went out there, or maybe Nick Collison. Like that, they're clearly the best organization in basketball right now. They're doing things. It's almost like if the Phillies needed someone, go get someone from the Dodgers. Like they're just doing it better than everybody else.
Yeah, and there's also Nazi Muhammad, who oversees their G League team, and he was a former Sixer. So, I mean, I don't know what a fit's going to be, but I think there needs to be like a balance between the analytics side and somebody who's played the game. Just to, if Hinkie did have a downfall, I don't think he was very relatable to much of the team, and certainly communication wasn't his thing. I think his communication was better than Daryl's, but. So we'll see what happens. But, I don't know if you're allowed to play it again, but I need to hear that jolly drop. That was my favorite part of the montage.
We will.
The montage will be replayed
later. Yeah, we'll have it again for anyone that missed it here.
That's
Ed, good phone
the
call.
Only avenue in which you're going to hear that again.
Yeah, it's a great drop. It really is.
Unbelievable.
And how could we do the Maury montage without the jolly cut? Yesterday was a big win for Jolly, let's be honest. I mean, Jolly and I have battled on some things. We were on the same side of the Maury thing, though, that Maury wasn't good enough and had to go. But that was a win for Jolly yesterday, without question. Let's go to Hollis in Swarthmore. What's up, Hollis?
What's up, Joe? Sit down, Hugh. I'm not talking to you. You know, I'm driving the bus with the guys with the helmets on, you know. Guess what one of them said to me when I told him about Maury? I said, the Sixers GM. They said, oh, is he the guy that started the cesspool? I said, no, the process. They have a little dyslexia. They mix up words. You know, you can't say nothing about them because they're special. I talked to Kyle. You guys know I'm a Cowboy fan. We're going to get off of that. I love the Sixers, the Phillies, and the Flyers.
All right, so what are you thinking? What are you feeling today, Hollis? You feeling better?
I'm feeling, hell yeah. You know why? You know, my cousin, Rondae Hollis Jefferson, played for Brooklyn, and he called me and he asked me what was my point of view about Embiid, and this was before Christmas. I said they need to sell him. While the selling is good, because he was showing a little promise that he was coming back. This was before the Boston series. This was before Christmas, where I thought we could have got some money. That's when Giannis was putting his name out there. I said, look, Embiid's doing well. Let's get him out of here now to get him off of the books. But that's neither here nor there. Number two, be quiet, guy, I'm talking. Number two, you know who you should look at too? He'll put this down. Jameer Nelson played for my son's friend. He had investment in the D League. He played for St. Joe, and he was a former player for Orlando for 14 years. So why not a homegrown guy that knows basketball?
Yeah, Jameer would be a good idea, and he's here. I mean, he's been part of the organization. I mean,
that's on the list that I'm looking at.
Oh,
Jameer.
He's on your list.
Yeah,
he's on your list.
He's one of the international coaches. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I was thinking about that, man.
Wow, you know, Hollis, great phone call, man. Call again. I like that he was yelling at the people in the back. Was he yelling at us or other people?
I guess somebody in their name
was Hugh.
Because
we weren't talking.
Yeah, I guess he was somebody else in their name was Hugh.
No, I think he said, be quiet, Hugh, to you.
Yeah, he wasn't talking to me.
he definitely wasn't talking to me.
He was probably talking to someone on that bus.
Okay. Jameer Nelson's a good one. So I prepared a list of a few names. We're going to get to it coming up in a little bit on who we want as the next executive. I think Hugh's list is going to be a little more substantial. Now, of course, he's preparing his while we do the show. Good thing we have a new notebook here.
I'm listening, but yeah, I'm this is what, when you have ADD, you can do things like this. You know what I mean? You can do multiple tasks at one time.
I'm not sure you can
fidget every now and then.
Yeah, you know, you think you can. All right, 215-592-9494. Glass half full or empty as the Sixers can Daryl Morey. Your reaction to the firing yesterday, where the Sixers go now. We'll throw the Phillies in as well coming up. Observations from last night, and I think we aren't fully grasping what we're witnessing with one of our Phillies right now. It's gotten to a point where I feel like this person has surpassed just great to a different level at this particular thing. We'll get to that coming up. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tired of your lawn looking like the losing team? Step up your game with Turf Tech, the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Their custom turf looks real, feels real, and plays even better. No mowing, no mud, no stress. Contractors, landscapers, homeowners, buy their durable premium turf at one of their dozens of distributors, or you can go directly, pick it up in 24 hours, or you can get it delivered in just 2 to 3 days. Visit turftech.com. That's T-U-R-F-T-E-K. Turf Tech, the yard you've always dreamed of.